Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And, oh God, we just pray, Lord, that this would be the year that we go home. And, Lord, we just commit all of these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm just going to say a few words this morning, not as a rebuke or nothing like that, but just as to let you know, because sometimes, you know, we say things like stupid and people get offended. But I just want to share with you my research on that and just to let you know that the word stupid, Brother Branham used it 45 times. But it's not a biblical term. It is actually a term that's more recent. But it means slow to learn or understand. So when you call a person stupid, you're not being, it's not a cuss word. It's not like, you know, the four-letter words that the people, the cuss, use. It just means slow to learn and understand. And it means obtuse. Now, the word obtuse means slow to discern. Now, the Bible used the word in the Bible. It says they're slow to discern. So it actually used the word obtuse, which actually means stupid. But it wasn't such a word as that. Okay. Now, the word ignorant was used 353 times by Brother Brown. And it means a lack of knowledge. And it was in Isaiah, it says, all are ignorant. They are dumb dogs. So, you know, what's worse, me calling people that read where God, you know, where Jesus says, I am my Father's Son, or where they change that to, I am God the Son? You know, it's being ignorant, okay? Now, insane, the Bible used the word insane. I know it doesn't use the word insane, but Brother Branham used it 273 times, and it means mentally deranged. Now, that's a far harder word to use than the word stupid, because you actually, when you think about it, the word stupid means they're willingly ignorant, okay? Willingly are ignorant. They could learn, but they refuse to learn. But insane is actually, you don't have a choice. I mean, you're just completely, that's it. And then the word mental, guess what? 454 times Brother Branham used the word mental. So now I could say they're just mental, and then you would say, oh, you shouldn't say that. Now, listen, I can understand if you get upset with the word retarded, because, you know, if I said they're retarded. But I don't use language like that, because I know that the people that are retarded didn't ask for it. They just were born that way. But I want you to understand, Brother Branham said stupid, and he said ignorant, and he said all these other words, and the Bible said all those other words. So don't tell me that it's wrong to call people stupid. Now, maybe I'll use a Bible term of ignorant. Oh, you know, and honestly, there's a lot of places where the word ignorance is used, but let me just, read you them, okay. In Romans, okay, the word ignorant, it says, we are unlearned and ignorant men, all right? That's in Acts 4 and 3. They are all ignorant, they are dumb dogs, they cannot bark, okay? So that's in Isaiah. Foolish was I and ignorant, all right? And again, we see in, like, Romans, for they being ignorant of God's word, of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness. 1 Corinthians, you should not be ignorant. Also in 2 Thessalonians, not to be ignorant. And, so it is a Bible term. And I just want you to understand, it's not because I'm mad at those people. I'm mad at the fact that they've been taught to be ignorant. You know, I preached 20 years ago, more than that, on the dumbing down of America. And you can see it every day, how insane they are. You know, I mean, when the teachers are telling their students that they have a choice of 72 genders, including dogs and frogs and snakes and rattle, you know, I mean, give me a break. There's two genders, male and female, that's it. So You know, when Brother Branham said that they're going insane, they have gone insane. I'm sorry. And it doesn't exclude people who follow the message. Now, the elect seed of God understand what revelation is, not because they are intellectually more acute in their thinking, but because revelation is a manifestation of divine truth. Because they not only see that it has been manifested, but they believe the prophet for the hour. In other words, Brother Branham, and I'm going to show you today, Brother Branham came sowing seeds. All right. Now, he didn't come bringing a manifestation. Now, he did some. I mean, he manifested certain like Malachi 4 and certain things like that. But he did not manifest what is for us. All right. They are looking backwards and not looking forward. And we have to understand he brought seed, so we should look at that seed not as if it's still in the ground, but that seed in its manifested light. Okay? Now, that is why we see Godhead, not because we are more astute and smarter than others, but because revelation from God is the evidence that you are born again. You see it because you can't make sense of anything other than there is but one God, and he had only a firstborn, not only firstborn son, but he had sons. All my life, I looked at the word Trinity. I tried to empathize and say, okay, how can they get a Trinity out of it? And I cannot for the life of me find out. I looked up and I found out it started back in Babylon with Anu, Ea, and Enlil. It was called the Babylonian Triad, right? Then it went to Rome, it went to Egypt, it went to Greece, etc. So how can I get a Trinity out of the Bible? I can't find it anywhere, all right? I can't find oneness either. Oneness is not there, but you see, Revelation tells me, and revelation is, you know, we might say like common sense. I mean, you know, they say, well, we see a Trinity, and when Jesus was baptized, the Father was up there, and then his voice spoke out of heaven, and then the Holy Ghost come down, and then you have a Son. Give me a break, all right? Just give me a break. It talks about the pillar of fire coming down and entered into him. All right, now, so, you know, they're trying to make it a God up there, a God around you, you know, and then God, you know, God the Son. Give me, it's just ignorance, okay? Now, so revelation of God and his Son is the first sign you are a son. I want to say that one more time. Revelation of God and his Son is the first sign you are a son. I could never swallow a Trinity. I tried to see what they see. Now, I wrote this morning, all right? I wrote it just before service, about a half hour before service, because I wanted you to see these things. So, I could never swallow a Trinity. I tried to see what they see, and it is impossible for me to see it, all right? And I really tried to believe their version of oneness, but I could not. I could not make any sense of it, but one like your fingers one. So I am stuck. I see that God and Jesus could not be one like your fingers one. That makes no sense to me at all. How could a son be one like your finger is one with his Father? It doesn't make any sense. You have to bypass what God said in his word to believe that, and it is impossible for me to see it that way, so I am stuck. I'm sorry. I believe the evidence of being a son is found in 1 Corinthians 2, that he gives you revelation. He says all things are revealed by your Father, which is in heaven. And he says the unbeliever is not revealed to him. So then he says that is the evidence that you are born again. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says that we are given power to become sons. And the word power is not dunamis, which means miracle-working power, but is exousia, which means an ability to make a right decision, all right? We become what we are meant to become. Nothing more, nothing less. A cow can't become a pig, a pig can't become a human. You are son of God to begin with, and it gives you the power to make that right decision that you're going to be a son. Anyway, I could not no more believe in a Trinity than I could believe in being oneness. I believe what the Bible teaches. There is one God who is the Father of Jesus, and he came in his Father's name. And this one who is his Father is God, is his God, and our God, and Father also. Now, So revelation is a key, and it is evident you are a son. Because beyond that, I can't say no more. God has revealed to you. I don't think there's anybody I'm talking to who God has not revealed to you. Now, I'm not intellectually talking. I'm talking revelation. That's two different things. Revelation means a manifestation of divine truth. Intellectual means that you were able to figure it out yourself. Well, I don't think there's anybody in here who has not received revelation from God that the Trinity is wrong and you would stake your life on it. All right? So why? All right? Because it's revealed to you. In other words, it makes no sense when you're reading the Bible, all of the things that they call Trinity, like they say, there's one Lord, one Spirit, and one blood or something like that, and these three give you one. They say, there's your Trinity. You know, forget it. It just doesn't make sense. All the things, there is no Bible term Trinity, and there is no oneness in the Bible. All right? So when God had a son, and he came into this son, he lived out 3.5 years, performed miracles. He never performed a miracle as a son of God before that, but he did perform. And so somebody says, well, did he have two spirits? No. By one spirit, we are all baptized into one body. John was born with the Holy Ghost. That's what the Bible says. Jesus was born with the Holy Ghost, right? Then just what happened then? Did he get another spirit when he was baptized? No. God entered into him. Then sometimes it was him speaking, sometimes it was the Father speaking. And he said, I teach nothing but what the Father says. And I do nothing but what the Father shows me. So, you see, it's not getting a different spirit, it's getting more of the same. In other words, getting the person instead of just a measure. All right, so revelation is key, and it is the evidence that you are a son. Beyond that, I can say no more. Now, first of all, let me just say this. I was going to preach on the Alpha and Omega and show you that, but we'll put that off for next week. What I'm going to do this morning is show you that because you see, you are a part of what's going on. All right? They don't see, and therefore they are not a part of what's going on. That's why I say they're not message believers. If they were truly message believers, they would quote the prophet, and they wouldn't quote their Pentecostal origins. But many of them are going back to their Pentecostal origin and quoting, you know, what that is. So that shows that the message was not for them. They should not call themselves message believers. They should call themselves whatever denomination they want to be. All right. Now, first of all, let me say that Brother Branham was a son of man, revealing the son of man, but not the son of man himself. But he did come sowing seed, as we will see in the Bible parable of the sower. Now, before I get to that, we know that that God came down with a shout. All right. What was a shout? It was a message. What is that? The Son of Man sowing seed. Now, Brother Branham, it was revealed to him, then he sowed it. It's revealed now to you, you sow it. So that doesn't make you a Son of Man, but he was the Son of Man, or he was a Son of Man revealing the Son of Man because he was a prophet. Now, from Anointed Ones at the End Time, he said, now, I want you to know this is sure, and you that listen to this tape, you might have thought today that I was trying to say that about myself, being that I was packing this message. I have no more to do with it than nothing, no more than just a voice, and a voice even against my better judgment, because I wanted to be a trapper. So, look, it was his desire to be a trapper, but it was God's desire for him to be a prophet. Okay? Now, but it's his will, the will of my Father, that I declared to do and am determined to do. I wasn't the one that appeared down at the river. I was only standing there when he appeared. Now, I had a brother in this message say, well, you have no right to put that pillar of fire, that rainbow that was taken over your meetings, you know, you have no right to put that on your website. And I said, I wasn't the one who appeared there. I was just standing there when he appeared. You see, and then the brother wrote back and said, well, I'm sorry. You know, and I said, it's not what I know, it's just what I surrendered myself to. You know, it's what he spoke through. So I'm not the one that performs these things and foretells these things that happens as perfect as they are. I'm only one that's near when he does it. I was only a voice that he used to say it. It wasn't what I knew, it's what I just surrendered myself to that he spoke through. It is in me. It wasn't the seventh angel. Oh, no, it's a manifestation of the Son of Man. It wasn't the angel, his message. It was a mystery that God unfolded. It's not a man, it's God. The angel was not the Son of Man. He was a messenger from the Son of Man. The Son of Man is Christ. He's the one you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. A man, his words will fail. But you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. If you haven't fed fully on every word to give yourself strength to fly over these denominations and things of the world, will you at this time do it while we pray? Now, that reminds me, I just want to say that, this thing that's upon me, which is David said, lift thy stroke from me, O God. And Job also had a stroke. Well, I have an email from a brother, and I'm going to read it to you. It's from brother. Let me see here if I can find it. From brother Benon, Ben Caleb. If you know him. Okay, he said he's quoting brother Bram. He said even if it's the oldest book in the Bible, Job, when he was broke out with boils, looked like everything had gone against him. His Christian or his religious friend said, Job, you've done evil. Many people want to say because somebody's sick that they did evil. That's not the truth. Job was a perfect man. God said so. But sometimes God lets afflictions hit his people to test them for their faith. He was testing a saint and not rebuking a sinner. And God does that to test. Jesus said, the scripture says, every son that comes to God must be tried, tested, child trained. And then they're proven to be the right children of God. And now in Job's case, when all his riches was taken from him and all his children was taken from him and all his friends was turned their backs upon him 7 days, accusing him of being a secret sinner, yet Job did not, he knew he was not a sinner because he stood firm on what God had promised. God required the burnt offering, and Job had offered it, and he and his children, and any note, he was justified because he was offered God's appropriate sacrifice. Now, we could draw from that today when we know that we've come in the presence of God with faith, believing there's nothing going to change that. God said so, and that settles it. Then, when he got so in his distress and sat on the ashes heap, scraping his boils, his body was broke out with boils, and his wife said, Job, why don't you curse God and die? And he said, now, he never called her a foolish woman. He just said, you speak like one. He said, thou speakest like a foolish woman. The Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He would not curse God. He knowed that he hadn't done. He said, I came into the world naked, and naked I shall return. That's from Show Us the Father. So, you see, this thing is not, men are saying in Africa, different places, in mostly the English-speaking places over there, like Uganda. They say, oh, you see, if he was a man of God, he wouldn't have a stroke. Well, I'm sorry, but you're going to go to hell for saying that. You're blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Why don't you read your Bible about Job, why don't you just repent for saying those evil words? Because I have not lost my mind. In fact, the doctors all agree that my mind actually has sped up. All right, it's about 50% faster than it was before. But I have to slow my speech down for you to understand me. Because otherwise I'd be saying things so fast that you wouldn't understand, because it would sound like a slur to you, but it wouldn't be a slur to me. So I just want you to know that I'm in my full mind. I'm preaching what he said. And actually, this stroke has caused me... I'm already 4 weeks ahead because I have 4 sermons prepared for you. All right, the next 4 sermons. So... I've got a month worth just sitting there that I've already prepared this week and the week before. So it's not that I'm slowing down. I'm actually speeding up. I guess I'm getting ready to get my change, Who knows? So now, Brother Branham said he is not the Son of Man. And we must understand he is not the Son of Man. I know the people that want to believe that, they say he's the Son of Man. He is not. He's a Son of Man. Revealing the Son of Man. Okay, God himself came down, and then Brother Branham echoed him. Now, that word echo that I've used reading from the scripture, it's a Greek word echo. When it says in Revelation, he that hath, that word is echo. And I believe it's for a purpose that God gave us that, so that we could understand that the prophet was actually echoing what God said. So, from question and answers, he says, some say Brother Branham is a son of man. I thought the pillar of fire was the son of man. Am I mistaken? Well, that's a good question. Very good. But I am not the son of man, but a son of man. There's quite a difference. Jesus was the son of man, the son of God, the son of man, the son of David. Now, the reason that question probably was asked this person or Ben, Ben said, because people regard me as a seer, which I've never said. I've never questioned in there. Just blasting me on that. See, but I when I read these questions, you'll see why I answer things the way that I do. Until I am definitely led to say something or do something, see, then I must say what I must. But that hour hasn't arrived, so I am not the anointed son of man. Now, again, from question and answers, he says, now after his death, burial, and ascension, and the coming of the Holy Ghost, Paul on his road, it was Saul to Damascus. He was struck down by a pillar of fire, the Logos. And that Jew would have never called the pillar of fire Lord unless he knew it was the same Logos that his people followed through the wilderness. See, now, that was not the Son of Man. That was the Logos. So why is he here as a Logos in this hour, and yet now he has come as Son of Man? Because he came as a prophet. He didn't come as a prophet in Paul's day, but he came as a Logos. Now, and so Paul took us back to the Old Testament and explained Jesus in the New. Now, he did come as the prophet, which is a Son of Man. That he came to Paul as God. Now, the Son of Man was to come forth sowing seed. We see that in several scriptures. Now, William Branham came to sow seed to fulfill scripture. He never came to sow the manifestation of the word. He came to sow seed word that it might become manifested. Now, there's very few scriptures that you can actually say that he was a manifestation of it, which we have Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10, etc. But the rest of it, the manifestation of the sons of God, didn't come in his day. And to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son didn't come in his day. And the spirit of adoption began in his day, but it's fulfilled in your day. So, you know, we have many, many things to look for. Now, so William Branham came only to sow seed to fulfill scripture. He did not come to sow the manifestation of the word. He came to sow seed word that it might become manifested. Now, let me be real clear on that. William Branham came as a son of man revealing the son of man who was here to sowing the word. But his ministry was not to manifest the word, but to sow the seed of the word. Now, from birth pains, he said, these men, if they pick up this and go out with it, they can make it more sense of it, to bring it to a place where I just want to lay this seed, but I hope they make it come to life. So Brother Branham was talking about the true fivefold ministry that would take the word and materialize that word, make that word manifest. So he said, I am just laying the seed of it, and that is what the Son of Man did, lay a seed. Now, it wasn't so from the beginning. He said, our Heavenly Father, it is written in the Scripture. It wasn't so from the beginning. So, I, in this rude little way of bringing it, Lord, I've tried to sow a seed here in the hearts of these dearest, precious people who are real, real Christians. All right? And from convinced and concerned, he said, what you're preaching, Brother Branham, what are you preaching for then, Brother Branham? Don't you know who they are? Well, he does. My business is sowing seed. I don't know where they're falling, just I sow it. God's confirming. Wherever it hits, it strikes like that. Quickly it comes to life if it's a good soil, if it's in good soil. If it's on a rock, I can't help it. But some denominational foundation, I can't help it. Only thing, I'll just keep sowing seeds. I know he's coming. I believe it. I want to live for that. I'm convinced that he's coming, and I'm convinced that he's coming as soon. He's coming soon. I am. Now, we see the parable of the Son of Man sowing seeds at the end time in Matthew 10 and verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now he tells you later on who that sower is. A sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell on stony ground, like denominations, he said, denominational rock, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground, and brought forth some 100, some 60, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speak thou unto them in parables? Now listen, and I'll try to do this carefully. Okay. He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, whosoever echoes, all right, to him shall be given, even he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away that which he hath. Now, that's why Paul said, say what I said. He didn't say, play what I play. He said, say what I say. You can play, that's fine. You can push play every day of the hour, every hour, you can push play all you want. I'm not against pushing play. I'm just saying it is not a Bible doctrine, because you have to say it in order for it to materialize. They are looking at a seed when they push play, but you are looking at the materialization of the word. All right? That's the difference. Daniel read the same Bible they read, and that Jeremiah read, and he saw the seed that Jeremiah laid out in the Bible that they would be in Babylon 70 years, and then they will come back and restore the kingdom. Now, Daniel read the same Bible they read, verse for verse. But Daniel had an ability to see that day that Jeremiah spoke in seed form has now come to pass. You have the ability to see what Brother Branham said in the words, in seed form, now in a manifested form. It's all around you. Like he talked about germ warfare, and the whole world is looking for it down the road someplace, germ warfare, and it's happened already, and they're going to continue to happen. There will be more plagues come along, and then they'll have more vaccines because they are making money. That's all it's about, is making money. All right? Now, he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he thinks he hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. Obtuse. Stupid. That's what the words mean. Look them up. You know, you think that, oh, I'm just an angry man up here because of the stroke and whatever, and so I'm lashing out at people. That's hogwash. I am lashing out at people who are faking. Brother Vail told me before he died that the make-believers have taken over the message. Every age, the make-believers took over their message. Can't you see it? If you can't see it, you might as well just leave here, because you wouldn't be happy. You won't be happy until you can march around the church and do your Jericho march and all those kind of things and make you feel, well, I know you people aren't that way. So anyway, but there are people that way. They hate this church, but you know what? They love their Jericho marches. They love to march around the church, and everybody clapped their hands, and they're really, oh boy, I tell you what, they're really, you know, oh, the Holy Spirit's here, hallelujah, I can feel it. No, you can feel your emotions. You can feel that you worked up. Look, I just got a little bit of sweaty because, you know, I got emotions. All right? But anyway, that's what they are doing. And they're calling it God, and they're calling it the message. And it is not the message. It is Pentecost. And Pentecost, Brother Branham said, is a million miles. This message is a million, M-I-L-L-I-O-N, a million miles beyond Pentecost. Now, as I said before, New York, you try walking it sometime. New York to California, it's 3,000 miles. That seems like an awful lot, but you know what? There's 1,000 millions in a million. So I mean, there's 1,000 thousands in a million. So so if it's a million miles beyond Pentecost, it's way out there near Pluto someplace. Maybe beyond that. Maybe past the sun. I think the sun is only, what, 187,000 miles. So it's eight times or seven times what the distance between the from here to the sun. So, you know, this message is a million miles. So don't you dare preach Pentecost and call it the message. It is not the message. All right? So in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. So if they will not perceive, it is obtuse to them. And if it is obtuse, they are stupid, because the two words mean the same thing. All right? Now, for this people's heart is waxed gross. Their heart is waxed gross, not your heart. Not believers of this message, their heart, but it's their heart is waxed gross. They are trying to build a kingdom for themselves, and they're not interested in God's kingdom. All right. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, and eyes means prophets, they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Now, I, you know, used to wonder why Brother Val got so angry all the time. It's because he saw what they're doing to this message. This message should stay pure. It should stay Bible. You should not be able to just quote Brother Branham. You should take it to the Bible so you have a good Bible understanding. But they just use a few quotes. You know, when a man preaches 1,233 sermons, and he's going to say a lot of things, especially if the average is about an hour and a half. Well, you know, you could take from the Bible that, you know, Satan went out and hung himself, and then take from the Bible, go ye therefore and do likewise. And you got a doctrine that's wrong. You know, you've got to say it the way that it was said. Judas hung himself, not you. Okay. Now, Matthew 10 and verse, don't be angry with me for using the word stupid. But anyway, Matthew 10 and verse 16. But blessed are the eyes for they see. Blessed are your eyes for they see, and your ears for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When one heareth the words and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one. Who's that? The devil. So these people that understand it not, the devil comes to them. Now don't tell me that they're not stupid or not, you know, and I don't mean to say stupid like it's a cuss word. I'm saying stupid as if they're ignorant. All right? Ignorant and unlearned. All right? And it catches away that which was sown in their heart. That's why they left the message. You got the believe the sign and they don't believe the sign. Why? Because the devil came to them and sowed seed. And then they took his seed and they wouldn't take God's seed. This is he which receives seed by the wayside, but he that receives the seed in stony places, that's the denomination, the same is he that heareth the word, and on with joy received it. They were, you know, when Brother Branham came with healing in his wings, you know, the Bible, when God came with healing in his wings, they were rejoiced that Brother Branham was out there. But then, you know what? When he began to preach the doctrine, they all turned on him. Well, we're preaching the doctrine and they turn on us. You know, so what's the difference? It's the same doctrine. But he that receives seed in a stony place, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath no root in himself, no Bible, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended. So you see, they're offended by the word. All right? Now, he also that receives seed amongst the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word. That's actually people in this message that are actually, they believe the word, but they've allowed their jobs to get ahead of the word. that they've allowed making money to get ahead of the world, just like it was in the days of Noah. They ate, they drank, they gave in marriage, and all these things, just like it was in the days of Lot. But he that receives seed, yet hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while, when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, by his offended. He that also receives seed among the thorn is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, some 30, and that is you people. You understand the word, more some than others, but you have this understanding. You believe there's one God. You believe that you're his son, one of his son, his children. And you believe he is here, his parousia. You don't have a problem with those things. They're common sense to you because you see that Jesus spoke it. And the 84 events, 79 have taken place. You see that. And you're aware of that. And you don't balk at it. You just say, okay, I see it. And so that's good. And you bear fruit. Some 30-fold, but some 100-fold. So some will bear fruit more than others. All right. But the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man, which sowed good seed, verse 24, in his field. But while he slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the household came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed, a good seed in thy field? From whence hath he tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. Now, you see, the Bible says in 2 Peter, chapter 2, it says the enemy comes in and alongside of true doctrine sows destructive heresy. Why do you think there's so many corny doctrines in this message? You know, like two souls. Who ever heard of two souls until you come to this message? They don't preach it in the Baptists. They don't preach it in the evangelicals. They don't preach it in the Pentecostals, but they preach it in this message. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous, but these people are ignorant. They are ignorant, okay? I'll watch myself. So, the servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. But let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather you together first the tares, and bind them into bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now, let's skip down to verse 37. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. So, the one who came sowing seed at the end time is the Son of Man. He came with a shout. Brother Brown picked up the ball on that, and he declared what he was told, the shout. In other words, he gave forth the message. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy, now they are not the... They are the children of, can we all say it together? They are the children of the wicked one. So when I call them stupid, I'm not calling God's children stupid. I'm calling those who are not God's children stupid. You understand the difference?
Amen.
All right. In other words, those make believers who came into the message and took Pentecost with them and say that they're preaching the message are not preaching the message. They're not saying what the prophet said. They think we are not saying the message. We are saying the message. And by the scriptures also. I've proven that. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. Devil. It is not God's seed. It is the devil's seed I call stupid. Mm-hmm. Not God's seed. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels, and as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. Why do you think Joseph Branham preaches the way he does and only listens to the tape? Because he's heard these guys that claim to be fivefold ministers just make abuse of the message. Listen, like Michael said, we were out the other day, and he said what they are doing is they are actually causing people to look elsewhere. And all of them talk about this Pentecostal man, and this Pentecostal man, and this Pentecostal man. Oh, and this person, they pray for the sick, and blah, blah, blah. Listen, they are getting the people to look elsewhere. outside this message, outside the Word of God. They are not giving the Word of God. They're giving a Pentecostal version of this message. And it is does more damage to the truth. All right? Now, let's look at Luke. Well, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned to in the fire, so shall it be at the end of the world. Now, Luke 8 and 10. Now, the parable is this. The seed that the sower sowed is the Word of God. And so the sower that sowed it was the Son of Man. So he sowed the Word of God. But the devil sowed another word. Okay, so we see that it was the Son of Man who came at the end time and sowed the seed of the Word. So Brother Branham sowed the seeds, period. All right? And they have been taking place since he sowed them. Some grow a little faster. You go out into the garden, some crop will come forth faster than others because, you know, for whatever reason. They had better soil, whatever. All right, now, God in simplicity. So Brother Bram sowed seeds. And those seeds begin to manifest and are still manifesting. And we see the manifestation of what he said versus they read the same Bible and hear the same message and they get a 60-year-old message that's still in the ground. And to them it will come up someday and they are lost. Honestly, they are lost. I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to read it from a prophet. Why they're lost. From God in simplicity, he said, it is strange to think how that God does such a thing as that. God will hide himself in something so simple that it caused the wise to miss it a million miles. Oh, that sounds like Pentecost. It's a million miles. All right? And then turn right back around in that. Some simple thing in the simplicity of his way of working and reveal himself right out again. I thought it made a text. We might study this before we go into the great teaching of the seven seals. Many miss him by the way he reveals himself. Now, what is revealing? Manifesting. All right? Now, man has their own ideas of what God ought to be and what God is doing. And as I have made the old statement many times, that man still remains man. Man is always giving God praise for what he did and always looking forward to what he will do and ignoring what he's doing. See? Now, is that true or is that false? So, he tells us that it is a way of man. A man misses what God is doing by either looking forward to what God will do, or they miss him by looking backward at what he did do, and God is not a respecter of persons. And the danger of push play is to be always looking backwards at the sowing of the seed, which he came to do, and then miss the manifestation of that seed. You see, what Joseph should be doing, and I shouldn't tell a preacher what to do, but you know, when you play a tape, you should talk about it. You say, okay, now he said this and this and this, and these things are happening around us. All right? That's what they should be doing. He also said, and that's if he's not called to preach. Because if he's called to preach, he should be preaching what his father preached. All right? Now, he said from the indictment, they did it because they didn't know who they was. That's the reason, and this is very, that statement, they did it because they didn't know who he was. And you do it because you don't know who he is. You look back and because you don't see it today. Because, like I said, I have never been able to accept a Trinity version of the of the Godhead. And I've never been able to receive a oneness version of the doctrine. I grew up in a Catholic background, but I couldn't see Trinity. And I couldn't see oneness when I went to the Oneness Pentecostal Church for 6 months. And the only thing, what drove me out of there was that not the tongues talking, but they had a woman preacher. Invite a woman preacher, and I said, that's enough for me. So I knew enough Bible by then to know that that was wrong. But I looked up in Fox's Book of Martyrs, And I saw that they had a Babylonian triad of Anu, Ea, and Enlil. And one is a wind, which is like spirit. One was a son, and one was a father. So you got your Trinity right there. And it's Babylonian. Why do you think Mystery Babylon, Catholic Church called Mystery Babylon? Because she's Babylonian too, and preaching the same doctrine. So they did it because they didn't know who he was. They didn't know that the vindication of God's word was standing up in their day. It was at that day, and it was at that day. Just keep them laws and things, but the same laws that was they was to keep them pointed them to a time. See, looking backwards, that when he would come, or looking forward, and he was this man. He was supposed to be. They had this part, but didn't take the other part. And that's the same thing they're doing now. They can't see the unfolding of the word. They can't see God manifesting in your day. They just look back or they look forward, and that's it. And they have a hallelujah time, and they have a jubilee, so to speak. They call it that. They had this part, but they didn't take the other part. And that's the same thing that they're doing now. They got a church, and they believe in Jesus Christ, and they say they do, and things, but deny the hour that we're living in. Still brings the old proverb back again. Man is always praising God for what he has done, looking forward to what he would do and or will do, and ignoring what he is doing and being condemned by it. See, they think God's wonderful, how great he is, what he's doing. What's he going to do? He's going to come and be a rapture someday and go home and deny the very sign and wonder right here at the time that the scripture says that he'll come doing it. And they miss the whole thing. If the blind lead the blind, Jesus said, they all fall in the ditch. Just pray God to open our eyes in this last days. All right. Now, that's from a vindicated prophet. So there is no part of push-play that I disagree with, except the majority of them say that push-play are looking, the majority of the push-play people are looking backwards when they say it. And then they deny Hebrews 4 in doing so. There's a perfection going on of the saints. And what's that perfection? It's getting you and the Word to become united. All right. And Brother Bram said, we have seen it. And now, we have seen it now, or they are lost. Now, from an audio letter to Brother Vail, Brother Bam said, would it be, you think, advisable in here to say that God then, in order to proclaim this, has to send a prophet in order to inject this, make this real again, show the people the hour we're living in? Now, listen. Every one of us came to this message because we saw a reality in Brother Branham. You see, we did not say, "Oh, his doctrine is better than theirs." The miracle. Listen, I saw miracles in the Catholic Church. I saw people go in Montreal at the cathedral there, walk 25 steps on their knees and get healed. I saw that. All right, when I was 9 years old. So I was not attracted because he was a miracle man, come with miracles. No, I was attracted because of what he said. All right? And he what he said was what the Bible says. And I was attracted to that. So, but anyway, he says, in order to proclaim this, has to send a prophet in order to inject this, to make this real again, show the people the hour that we're living. Because if they only see it in the hour past, then there's no hope for the church. The church must see it in the present tense. So God sends his prophet to manifest present tense of it. You see? And then after it's over, then it is history. Now, you might inject that, Brother Lee. I don't know whether that's any good or not, but it's just a thought right here. Thanks a lot. Well, it's good enough for me. That, you see, he said if the church looks back and just at the cross And then they look at the rapture is going to come. They've got nothing. Because he is the I am. He wasn't the I was, and he isn't the I will be. You know, I will that I will be that I will be. You know, give me a break. And not I was that I was. You know, that that doesn't even sound like his culture. All right. Anyway, he said, I am that I am. All present tense. So if they only see it in the hour past, then there is no hope for the people. That's why, you know, we do come and listen on a Wednesday night, but we talk it afterwards. We talk the word. Brother Don and I go out and we eat and we talk what we heard on the tape and we see the reality of what he was saying. Some nights we come in here and put on, you know, push play, and we hear the prophet say things that are absolutely astounding, because you would think that he was standing right here and telling us what we are seeing all around us. All right? That's how real this message is, when you're looking at the message through the filter of what is happening now, not what happened back then. From the anointed ones at the end time, he said, I am sent me. I am, not I was, or will be, I am, present tense, the word now. Not the word that was, the word that will come, the word that's now. See, you get it? And then he quotes from Hebrews 6, saying, for the anointed ones at the end time, for it is impossible for those which were once enlightened and didn't move on with the word as it come to pass, they're dead. They're gone. Whew. I could just stop right there, because that is exactly the truth. If you don't see it in the present tense, you are dead and gone. If you are only in this message because your parents were, if you're only in this message because a generation of people were there and you decide this is good enough for me because they live holy and maybe they live a good life, you're lost. I'm sorry. If you don't see the present tense word unfolding around you, you are lost. Especially if you're not part of that word. All right. Now, in fact, Brother Bram, in just once more, Lord, he said, man is always thanking God for what he did and all, and looking forward to what God will do, but ignoring what God is doing. That is why it is so important to understand the Alpha and Omega principle that Brother Bram laid out for us. He said this was the very first principle he learned as a Christian. What God did in the first age, he is obligated to do in the last age. That's why next week we're going to study that principle. He said, I am Alpha and Omega. Okay? Then, if we can look at what God did in the first age under the pillar of fire ministry of Paul and how he did it, then we will see what he has done under the same pillar of fire ministry of William Branham in this last hour and what he is continuing to do after Brother Branham went off the scene. You know, I should probably put my marbles in right now and take a break, because when I put my marbles in my mouth, the therapist said, don't do it, you swallow them. No, I'm not going to swallow a marble. But anyway, after I actually sound for about 5 minutes, I sound like I did before. So, you know, I know there's something that's pulling in there, but anyway, it'll come. So, then if we can look at what God did in the first age under the pillar of fire under Paul, we'll see the same thing he did in this hour. Now, push play then is listening to the word in seed form, just like Brother Bram said, but it is up to a genuine fivefold ministry to make it come alive to the people. That's what he said. To point out where the seed was that has been manifested for the people to see it. So to just push play is looking back, and unless the people are seeing the word in its present tense, they are still in danger of being lost. And I say that to everyone who pushes play. If you are not looking, if you're looking at what Brother Branham said and not looking at what he said that's come to pass, you are lost. He said, Father, what are they coming here to see? He said, if they're just coming to see me, he said, then they still are lost. They must see you. All right? So, the same way with hearing. You must hear God. Now, from the Sardisian church, they read the same Bible that we read. See, but they didn't They just didn't take all of it because it wasn't revealed to them. It wasn't for their age. That's the reason that they'll come forth in the resurrection. They'll walk in that in what light they had to walk in. So they'll come forth. Now, they read the same Bible, he said, that we read, and hear the same tapes we hear, but they didn't see the manifestation of it. It's still in seed form to them. They do not see what is taking place. They do not think that this germ warfare is here. They still think it is down the road somewhere. All right? Now, from Gabriel's instruction, because how do you prepare the man that was up on the roof, and they said, well, they said, the storm's coming. You know, you better leave or your house will be underwater. And he waited and waited and said, I'll just go up on the roof. He went up on the roof, and then the snakes came up and they bit him to death. You see, there's coming a destruction. Putin is getting ready to lift the bombs any day now. It'll happen. And then you say, I thought such and such was supposed to happen. I thought Billy Paul was to be young. I thought this was supposed to happen. I thought the sharks would be in California and everything else. Well, he'll be in the resurrection. And so will you and I. But, you know, those people, they're just not paying attention. You see? So, from Gabriel's instruction to Daniel, he said, now back to the lesson. Daniel had been reading. Just think. Daniel read the same message that we are reading this morning. Daniel read the same Bible, the same punctuation, the same sentence, the same things that I'm, by the help of God, will read you in the next few messages, the same thing to show that we are at the end time. And Daniel, taking the word from Jeremiah, remember it went forth in seed form, Jeremiah wrote it down in seed form, in Jeremiah, then he goes down into Babylon, and he was the anointed prophet. So Daniel saw what was in seed form manifesting itself around him. But Daniel saw the manifestation of what Jeremiah has said. Daniel put it down in seed form. But Daniel said, hey, this is what Jeremiah was speaking about. The fivefold are supposed to see it, not in seed form, but in manifested reality. The end of it is upon us, and they are still looking down the road for something else to come when it has already come. You know, there are people actually that say Joseph Branham has a double portion that William Branham had. And I know other people that went to the tabernacle for 45 years, and they said, no, wait a minute. What has he done? What has he done to show a double portion? And they said, well, he's got the third pole. They said, where? And he said, well, printing the books. Now, printing the books is a third pole. Then I printed thousands of books that have gone overseas. So I printed thousands of the third pole. Give me a break. It's just words to help the ministers, okay? The end is upon us, and they're still looking down the road for something else to come when it has already come. His parousia is here, and 79 of the 84 signs and events have already taken place, and I bet you they could hardly number maybe 5 of them. But 79 have already taken place. From the unveiling of God, we being in Him, we are still veiled to the religionists and professors of the world. See, our glory that we have and enjoying, and we are still veiled to them, outsiders, they think we're crazy, and not again. See, that's right. But we are in here, and Christ baptized into Him, 1 Corinthians 12, into Him, we are partakers of His glory. What's that? Doxa. Doxa. We are partakers of His opinions, His values, His judgment. See, but not on the outside. You're still looking in and denying it. See, so now we are invited into Him to be partakers of all that He is. We are invited into Him, which is hid to unbelievers by veil of human flesh. See, they know that glory. They read of it. It's in the Word here of the glory of God and things like that. It's just a word to them. To us, it's a manifestation. See, it is no more a word. It's a reality. Doxa is no more a word to me. It's a reality that his opinions and his values are part of my life. See, amen. God said, let there be light. That was the word. But now there is light. It ain't the word. It's the light. See what I mean. Okay. Now that brings us to Alpha and Omega, Revelation 22 and verse 13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And I think that we'll stop at this point and we'll pick up on that next week. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for giving me the strength and energy to get through it and not to slur, but to give words which could be understood. And so, Father, we thank you for it, and we ask you to bless the word now. May we think about this word that was spoken today in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so did you understand? Did it help? Okay, God bless you.